Please turn over.
Hallo, hi. Dieser Podcast hat sich eine kleine kreative Schaffenspause gegönnt, unter anderem auch, weil ich 5 Wochen in den USA war. Ich war vor allem in Seattle und da habe ich Molly getroffen.
Hi, I'm Molly and I live in Seattle and I'm 30. And I work in marketing at a tech startup that does called Picture Labs, and we do product design.
Molly ist in einer Sache typisch für Seattle. Sie arbeitet nämlich im Tech-Business. Neben dem Silicon Valley bei San Francisco ist Seattle nämlich die zweite große Tech- und Startup-Stadt in den USA. Die ganze Stadt wird überschattet von einem Riesen: Amazon. Aber auch Microsoft oder zum Beispiel Starbucks kommen von hier. Und weil diese großen Unternehmen so viele Jobs bieten, ziehen viele Menschen hierher. Aus anderen Teilen der USA, aber auch aus der ganzen Welt. Seattle ist deswegen auch eine der durchschnittlich jüngsten Städte der USA. Auf der anderen Seite merkt man die ganzen Neuankömmlinge, aber an den Preisen. Vor allem Wohnpreise sind ziemlich gestiegen. Das heißt, die ganzen Techies haben hier in Seattle Spuren hinterlassen.
Seattle, where I've pretty much grown up my entire life, the city changed a lot.
Vor allem haben die Menschen, die in der Stadt leben, aber nicht die guten Einkommen von Amazon und Co. haben, ein Problem. Sie können sich ihre Stadt nicht mehr leisten. So war das auch bei Molly. Sie beschreibt den Unterschied zwischen sich und einer engen Freundin, die bei Amazon angefangen hat.
We had different starting points to begin with, and then I watched as her earnings, you know, doubled, tripled, and all of a sudden we're on this like very different path. And fast forward to now, she has since bought a house in Seattle. She bought a home a couple years ago. She didn't have any student loans coming out of university. I did have student loans.
Molly hat bis vor kurzem an der Uni gearbeitet. Ja, und die ständigen Sorgen ums Geld waren ein Grund dafür, dass sie sich für einen Job in der IT-Branche entschieden hat.
About 3 years ago, I realized I can't stay in higher ed if I want to have a certain lifestyle in Seattle and if I want to try and remove this stressor of always having to like think about money and think about the next paycheck and all that kind of thing.
Das ist Bitte wenden, der Podcast, in dem ich Menschen treffe, die noch einmal in einem neuen Beruf anfangen. Diese Folge hier ist ein bisschen eine Sonderausgabe, weil ich sie eben in Seattle aufgenommen habe und ich mit Molly, Nonanet, auf Englisch gesprochen habe. Wir springen jetzt also die ganze Zeit ein bisschen hin und her zwischen Englisch und Deutsch. Ich werde mehr Interviewteile als sonst stehen lassen, damit du nicht so oft umschalten musst. Okay, los geht's. Mit Molly und mit der Frage, wie bist du denn zu deinem Tech-Job gekommen? Bei Molly beginnt's mit einem Angebot, das sie nicht ablehnen kann. Als sie nämlich beim Vorgesetzten an der Uni anklingen lässt, dass sie gehen möchte, bittet er ihr an, dass sie gratis einen Masterlehrgang machen kann.
I thought about leaving and he offered if I would stay and he would cover my master's degree if I stayed. And obviously believing in education and how much it can change, I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to say no to free education. So I ended up staying, and part of that degree was a master's in communication. So we looked at storytelling at large and communication, but a lot of emphasis on what does that look like within technology and emerging technologies.
User experience and product design and so on, design general and storytelling. Yeah.
All of that stuff, yes, yeah. And that program, we were using that type of language before it was so mainstream. So that, what I saw within the university system, I thought, where can I go where it's going to get me kind of a taste of that faster pace, emergent technology, thinking about new strategies, kind of just trying to get out of the kind of slower, kind of archaic way that the rest of the university did things. So I was introduced to my former boss through a mentor of mine who I'd shared some of what I was looking for with.
Trotzdem hat mich noch genauer interessiert, wie es jetzt wirklich zu diesem Wechsel kam. Weil oft braucht es schon auch einen Schubser, damit man sich wirklich innerlich auch auf so was Großes einlässt. Und da habe ich auch noch was anderes herausgefunden.
Several people I've talked to, many have a moment of crisis in their old job. Like, depends on, I don't know, either they don't get the promotion that I wanted, or they, after 10 years they're just fed up with always having the same tasks and so on and so on. Was any of that part of your decision, or was it just in the striving, okay, I want to build up my career and go places?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I mean, in fact, I felt a little bit like a, you know the saying, a big fish in a small pond. I felt a little bit like that. So I felt kind of like I knew my job, I had a good reputation, and I had opportunities, and I was able to move up while I was there. And so it was a kind of like, I kind of had a good thing going, but it also felt, it just felt really safe. And people that I looked up to, including my former boss, was like, you need to push yourself, and you need to like really kind of go on to something bigger. I think the maybe moment of crisis was a more personal thing. So I'd been with someone for a couple years, and we lived together, and we were kind of headed on that, the track of maybe getting married and all of that. And so I had this vision of my life of, well, I'm going to have someone who I'll be sharing expenses with. Obviously, you know, sharing a life and love and all that, but just practically like sharing expenses with. And he was in finance, and so he had, you know, great income. And so I kind of had this couple years where I was like, well, maybe I don't need to worry so much. And then we decided to part ways. And so I was 29 at the time. So kind of thinking about what my life was going to look like, I realized in the back of my mind, I'd kind of always been relying on this fact that I was going to have somebody else with me that I could share the expenses with, and someone who would, I could lean on and not have to, you know, I could be working in the nonprofit sector, not worrying about money, and they would have the better paying job. So once we parted ways, I think I realized, okay, that's, A, how non-feminist of me, and kind of like slap myself on the wrist of that. But also just thinking like, well, why do I think that? Why do I feel like I can't be the breadwinner? Or why do I feel like I need to rely on a man to, you know, do this type of thing? So that there was that moment of, and that was last year. So it was within the time frame of where I knew I was going to be headed anyway, but I think it kind of lit a fire under me to just kind of take my life into my own hands and think about my own goals.
The last little push. I mean, push is too strong.
Yes.
Soft push.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was a soft push. It was like a very, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Molly wird erstmal angefragt, als freie Texterin für ein Startup zu arbeiten. Das ist das Gleiche, wo sie jetzt fix arbeitet. Aber, das gibt sie uns als Lebensweisheit mit, arbeite nie als Texterin für ein Startup, wenn sie dort keine Strategie haben, beziehungsweise keine Person, die sich das überlegt, wie treten wir auf, was für ein Bild wollen wir repräsentieren. Weil, wenn es das nicht gibt, dann kann man auch keine Texte schreiben. Als Texterin muss Molly dort also ziemlich viel herumfragen. Was ist die Geschichte, die wir erzählen wollen? Warum machen wir das, was wir machen? Warum machen wir es so, wie wir es machen und nicht anders? Bis der CEO von dem Startup sagt, hey, Moment mal. Wir brauchen jemanden, der uns diese Fragen stellt, und zwar die ganze Zeit, weil nur so können wir unser Produkt schärfen. Und den Job bietet er Molly an.
And so the freelancing led to conversations where I was offered a job, and at first I was completely surprised. I did not expect to be offered a full-time gig like at this level. And then also I was like, I definitely don't want to take that. In my mind I was like, I don't want to do a startup, I don't want to go somewhere where I'm going to be the only marketing or communication person, but I'm going to use it as an opportunity to practice negotiating. So I went into all the conversations about, you know, salary and what my job title would be and what I would be doing with this notion in the back of my mind where I was like, well, I feel kind of safe negotiating because I don't think I'm going to accept this anyway. And then with all those conversations, I kind of realized, well, this is an exciting opportunity, and I have the, you know, the ability to kind of build things from the ground up. So basically, it sounded really cool.
Sie nimmt also an, ohne wirklich genau zu wissen, worauf sie sich einlässt. Am ersten Tag ist der Chef, der sie eingestellt hat, gerade mal 2 Wochen nicht da.
So I knew he wasn't going to be there. So I walked in on the first day, and it was just, I mean, my thought was like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Anyone who does, you know, storytelling or communication or marketing or any of that kind of work knows that in order for that work to be productive and to be good, you need to have a really strong strategy that you're mapping up to, or a company vision or a purpose or all of those things. So a lot of what my job has been is kind of asking some questions to try and get my boss, who's the CEO, to make some of those decisions.
What about all the startup cliches, like, I don't know, guys in hoodies and free snacks and no hierarchies, everybody's the same? How are you dealing? Is that the case? Or?
Yeah, so all of that is so true. It's a very flat, no hierarchy at all, which is really hard, especially coming from the university where it was super clear. That's really hard. And I think what's hard about that is, yes, there's no hierarchy, but, the buck stops somewhere. Like, there is someone that ultimately signs off on it. So kind of figuring out who's really in charge on certain things and where do I really have authority, that's been hard. There is free snacks. Luckily, they're all healthy snacks, which I'm very happy about because I love to snack. So it would be hard if it was just like cookies all the time. It's primarily men. So there's a bunch of designers and developers. So because we have more designers, which there are typically more women, there's some women. It's not like I'm the only one, but I am one of the only women. There's a leadership team now of 7 or 8 of us. And 2 of us are women in that group. So that there's definitely, majority men, which is also very different. Coming from the university space, it was heavily female. So that's been a change. Yeah, for sure. I don't feel like there's the quote-unquote bro culture that people talk about. And I think part of that is because the CEO and this, they're people that have been working for a while. So it's not like, my boss isn't younger than me and he didn't just graduate last year. So I don't feel like there's that, but we do have a ping pong table and we do have beer in our fridge and, there's happy hours on Fridays. Like all those cliche things are,
okay.
But I like that. It's the work hard, play hard thing I appreciate that.
Alles klar. Es gibt einen Tischtennistisch und am Freitag Bier für alle. Dieses Startup-Klischee ist also schön erfüllt. Was man sich aber auch noch so erzählt über Startups, ist, dass sie beim Einstellen von neuen Mitarbeiterinnen viel offener sind als Arbeitgeberinnen bei herkömmlichen Jobs. Also, dass es weniger eine Rolle spielt, ob du genau diese 10 Voraussetzungen für den Job alle erfüllst, sondern dass es mehr darum geht, ob du interessante neue Sichtweisen ins Team einbringst.
Yeah, 100%. And I know even with my boss, he hires so much just based on his gut. Like, it's not, there's a certain level of skill. If you're hired to be in marketing communication, you don't know how to write, like, that's going to be a problem. But beyond that, he, it doesn't really matter how many years of experience you have or what you were doing before. It's all about what value can you add to the team and what does that look like. And even within, now, my title is director of marketing, but even within that, he's like, I don't want you to feel just confined to marketing. Like, you can be business development. You can be product. Like, it's a very fluid, in terms of what you do. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of people. I think tech is much more welcoming to different types of careers people have done before because I think maybe more than other industries, they recognize that diversity of every kind, so whether it's, there's certainly, ethnical diversity and things like that, but diversity in terms of different career paths or different educations, that adds to the creativity. There's no one in my office that are like that, but I certainly know and have heard of people who are doing something completely different and then they moved over into tech. I actually know someone who he was wanted to be a priest and he was headed in that direction, was going to go to the school
and
seminary. And now he's at Amazon. And I don't even know what his job is, but he's in tech.
Preaching.
And so,
yeah. Maybe preaching to Amazonians and getting them, we're going to rule the world.
Yeah. I highly doubt that, but maybe. maybe it's like a side gig within Amazon or something.
What I also like is this idea that you have certain skill sets. Let's say as a reporter, my skill is I can research and I can do interviews, but you could use those skill sets in another context for, you know what I mean?
Totally, yeah. I mean, and that's what I think is really interesting. I mean, my brain keeps going to, I think because you're a journalist and I'm thinking about friends of mine who were journalists and now they're UX writers or they're content strategists or they're UX researchers, kind of like taking those same skills or anything. Like my former boss used to always tell me, in another life you would have been a journalist because I'm really curious and I love to ask questions and I love talking to people and I love figuring out what is it that someone's really trying to say and all those things. And I feel like I use that in my job now, even just with my coworkers. Like I'll sit down with one of our developers and I need to figure out, okay, how can I get him to trust me and to feel comfortable so that he can explain to me what his job is and I can ask him all these questions so that I can go then write, a a blog about what the product is or whatever. So I feel like, yeah, the skills are certainly transferable. And I think that tech needs more people who understand people than anything else. There's a lot of people that understand how to design, how to build products and write code and all of that. But what I see missing and what I feel like I'm the person in my company that's doing that now is the person who's thinking about how are we collaborating? How are we thinking about, like, what we're really trying to do here? Like, what's our bigger goal here? And that's part of what I've been, like, pushing my CEO about. It's like, okay, cool, we're building all these cool products, but, like, what are we really doing? Like, how are we trying to, quote-unquote, change the world, right? Because everybody, that's, like, the vision statement. So I think we need more people who are people.
Okay, jetzt haben wir viel über die Startup-Kultur gesprochen, soweit Molly sie kennt von sich und ihren Bekannten in Seattle. Aber sprechen wir doch noch einmal über die Stadt selbst. Für mich als Besucherin war Seattle extrem nett und angenehm. Die Stadt ist nicht zu groß und auch sicher, man kann eigentlich überall herumgehen. Es ist sehr grün, das heißt, es gibt viele Parks und überall sehr viel Wasser. Das heißt, es gibt auch Strände, man kann schwimmen gehen, im Meer oder in Seen. Ja, und wenn man gerne ausgeht oder sich Bands anschaut, das Angebot ist riesig und man kann sich quasi rund um die Uhr vergnügen. Von den ganzen Restaurants und den kleinen Brauereien, die tolle Spezialbiere machen, fange ich jetzt überhaupt nicht an zu erzählen. Ihr könnt euch also vorstellen, I had a good old time. Das Ganze reißt aber auch ein ganz schönes Loch ins Geldbörserl. Ich habe ein bisschen tief atmen müssen, als ich jetzt die Kreditkartenrechnung aufgemacht habe. Nur, ich war halt nur ein paar Wochen da. Aber wie ist das für jemanden, der hier lebt?
Could you maybe describe how Seattle has changed ever since the big... I think it's 7 years now, or...
Yeah.
Let's wait for a second until you see, because it's so many sirens at the moment.
Yeah, and it's probably been a slow burn. It's probably been longer than 7 years, but I'm just thinking about, you know, when I was 23, starting working, to now... So when I was 23, I lived near where I live now, and I'll just be transparent about this. So my rent, I lived with three other girls. We lived in a four-bedroom, three-bathroom townhome with lots of space, all had our own rooms. It was in a really kind of nice area within Seattle, and my rent was $700 a month. I now live in a one-bedroom in a similar area, and my rent is... $1,625, so $1,625, and I have a really good deal. Wow. Like, I have, like, a steal of a place. So, obviously, it's not apples to apples, because I was, like, living with roommates before, but I think that's just a good example of, you know, the place I'm in now probably 7 years ago would have been maybe, like, $900. Like, it's almost doubled, I think.
Viele können sich das nicht mehr leisten. Seattle hat nach San Francisco und New York das größte Obdachlosenproblem. Das merkt man auch, wenn man dort ist. Teilweise gibt es Zeltstädte, wo Menschen leben auf Parkplätzen und ganz viele Menschen auf der Straße. Denn obwohl Seattle die großen Unternehmen wie Amazon oder Starbucks vor Ort hat, sind die Kassen der Stadt so gut wie leer. Es gibt im Bundesstaat Washington kaum Besteuerung von Unternehmen oder Arbeit. Das ist ein viel diskutiertes Problem in Seattle.
When new people move in, obviously the infrastructure needs to catch up. If you've been driving around Seattle, you've seen there's construction everywhere. And then, you know, people with money are buying homes in areas, and the area of the city is growing, but then it's also pushing people out. The demographic of the city has changed a lot. And you see people coming in from other states, other countries who are moving here specifically for jobs, and then how invested those people want to be within the community is what I find really interesting. Because if you have someone who's coming here, who's not from here, maybe doesn't have any roots here, maybe isn't even planning to stay here very long, and I think we see this in places like New York and San Francisco where they come, they're not looking to set in roots, they're just going to come, do the job, and probably move on to the next thing, wherever it is. Typically, what from my perspective, those people aren't the same people who want to invest in the community and want to, you know, get involved and, you know, activate and do those sort of things that I think communities really need in order to thrive. So I think that's, yeah.
So they just feed off what the city has to offer. I mean, Amazon tries to attract people with, oh, this is a wonderful city, it's so green, you can do all the hiking in nature.
Yeah.
or cultural things that you have, but they're kind of not giving back except for maybe the money they spend here.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, I don't want to, I really want to be, I think it's really important to say I don't want to make a blanket statement about, you know, and I don't think anyone, hopefully anyone listening won't think that, but it's more just a, yeah, I mean, I think you said that really, I think that was really well said, how it's like they want to kind of enjoy the benefits, but are they going to actually give back more than just spending money? And giving back in the sense of, you know, volunteering or joining a local community group or, you know, getting to know their neighbors or those things.
Das Thema wird Seattle wohl noch länger beschäftigen. Eine sogenannte Head Tax, dass große Unternehmen pro Mitarbeiter oder Mitarbeiterin eine Steuer zahlen müssen, ist letztes Jahr kurz eingeführt und dann ganz schnell wieder zurückgezogen worden. Aus Angst vor Konsequenzen, nämlich einer Drohung von Amazon, dann Teile des Unternehmens abzusiedeln. Das Wohnungsproblem kann ich in diesem Podcast wohl nicht lösen. Von Molly möchte ich zum Schluss natürlich wissen, wie bewertet sie den Wechsel? Was kommt auf die Pro- und was auf die Kontraliste?
Would you do it again?
Changing into jobs?
Yeah.
Yeah, today is good. And I think that's, it's still so early. Certainly from a financial perspective, my life got insanely easier right away. Like I had no idea how I didn't even realize how stressed I was about finances and just how much I was thinking about it. So that has been great to be like, oh, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm able to save and pay off things, and that feels really good. But I am really missing this kind of do good, mission driven side of the work, which I do have something that I do on the side that's helping a friend of mine build this creative agency. It's another startup actually, but it's very mission driven focused. So that is kind of feeding my soul at the moment. And I think it's too early to tell. I'm certainly learning a lot and I feel really challenged, which those are things that were really important to me in addition to the income. I think ultimately it will be a really good decision. I don't know if I'll stay at this specific company. I don't know how long I'll stay. I'm certainly not going to leave. I'm going to give it at least 6 months. That's what I've told myself. But yeah, I think there's tech and then there's startup tech. And that's like an extreme version of all the stereotypes, good and bad. So short answer, I don't know. Yes.
You will maybe know in a few months,
yeah,
or not.
I'll, yeah.
I mean, you know, all that worrying, was it the right thing in the past? It's in the past. So.
Yeah, that's very, yeah. And I'm trying to, well, I actually just got this tattoo this weekend as kind of a reminder to myself of.
Sie zeigt mir ein Tattoo von einem Herz auf der Innenseite von ihrem Unterarm. Kein buntes Herz, irgendwie ausgeschmückt oder anatomisch korrekt, nur in schwarz. Ein Umriss von einem Herz, vielleicht im Durchmesser 4 cm.
But just as a reminder to myself of just like, just don't worry. Like, you know, things will, life will happen as it does. And I wanted it somewhere where I could like look down at it every day and like touch it. Be like, okay, you got this.
Cool. Thank you so much for that interview.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thanks.
Das war Bitte wenden, die Sonderausgabe Seattle mit Molly Schachter. Sie hat vor 3 Monaten als Marketingmanagerin in einem Tech-Startup angefangen und bekommt alle Wachstumsschmerzen mit, die es in einem Startup so gibt. Mein Name ist Irmi Wutscher und ich treffe in diesem Podcast Menschen, die beruflich nochmal was Neues probieren. Wie ist das bei dir? Willst du auch was Neues anfangen? Oder hast du es schon versucht? Schreib mir doch an irmi@potspot.at. Und übrigens, du findest mich auch auf Facebook und Instagram. Such nach Bitte wenden Podcast und like und follow. Bis zum nächsten Mal und nicht verfahren.
Please turn over. Please turn over.
Dieser Podcast ist eine Produktion von Podspot, Verein für Hörkultur. Redaktion und Moderation Irmi Wutscher. Großen Dank an Lukas Lottersberger für die Grafik und die Hilfe beim Hosting. Die Musik in diesem Podcast kommt von Le Gang. Die Songs heißen I Don't Need You to Say Anything, Drops in Mind und I Was Nothing. Sie sind unter der Creative Commons Lizenz 3.0 an Ported erschienen. Du findest sie auf Le Gangs Soundcloud, der da lautet soundcloud.com/thisislegang, alles klein und zusammen.
Eine Produktion von Podspot.